Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday talking about As I Have Loved You. And this is taken from John chapter 13, the night before Jesus was crucified. He had his disciples together and gave them a brand new commandment. In John chapter 13, verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And I think that there is a lot more in this than what most of us have recognized. You know, when it came to a new covenant, he said that when he made a new covenant, he made the first old, and now we have a brand new covenant. And along with the new covenant, there is a new commandment, and that commandment is love instead of all of these individual things. The old covenant had commandments with it that you can have no other gods, you can't make a graven image, you have to remember the Sabbath day, you have to honor your father and mother, you cannot kill, you cannot commit adultery, you can't lie, bear false witness, you can't covet, etc., etc. There's all of these things to do. Under the new covenant, there is a new commandment, and Jesus gave this to us right before he was crucified, and that new commandment is to love other people as God has loved us. And this new covenant supersedes all of the old covenants and all of the old commandments. And I know that this is something that is so ingrained in us that we have to live by the Ten Commandments, that this is offensive to a lot of people, and a lot of people think that I'm saying that you should no longer live by this standard of holiness. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the motivation towards living holy has changed. And because we do it because we love God, it's different than doing it because you fear that God is going to punish you and that you're going to be judged. It's a huge difference, and this would transform your relationship with God if you could begin to relate to Him by the new commandment that He gave, which is to love other people the way that He has loved us. On our program yesterday, I brought out these verses from Romans chapter 13 where the Apostle Paul was expounding on this very thing, that the command we have to live by now is not all of the do's and the don'ts and do all of these things, but instead it's just loving other people. In Romans chapter 13, let me read this again. It says in verse 8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." And so this is the Apostle Paul basically amplifying on this new commandment that God gave us. And he says everything, all of these commandments about not committing adultery, not stealing, not lying, etc., if you loved other people, you would never do that. A person who steals is a person who doesn't care about the other person. They're only thinking about themselves. And if they see something that they want, they will hurt another person. They don't know what that person has gone through to get it. They don't know if it's something that's been passed down through the family. They don't know what kind of position it's going to put the other person in. They don't care about the other person. It's all about them. And see, if you truly loved a person, you would never steal. If you truly loved another person, you would never bear false witness. And let me just point out that in Exodus chapter 20, one of the commandments was, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." It wasn't, "Thou shalt not lie." There's a difference between those two. Did you know you could actually say a truth and say something that is accurate and use it to make a false witness? For instance, in politics, there are people that all of the time will go back and take out something that a person did, and they will tell the truth, but they don't give the context of it. They don't explain why it was done. And because of it, they leave a false impression, a false witness with people. And they bear false witness all of the time. Politicians are excellent at taking statistics and twisting them to make a point. But it's a false witness. It's not the actual truth. People do this in their jobs. They go out and they, you know, if they're selling goods, they may be up against a competitor. And what they will do, they will sit there and point out some negative thing about the other person's product, but they don't point out any negative things about their product, and they misrepresent. It's a false witness, and because of it, they leave a bad taste in the person's mouth when the other product might actually be the better value, the better product, but you can sit there and just point out the failings and then only point out the good things about yours, and you could not make an even comparison. It's a false witness. So the scripture says, thou shalt not bear false witness, not just not lie. Of course, lying is wrong, but bearing false witness, I believe, is even broader than that. Many people are guilty of that. But if you truly loved other people, you would never manipulate truth. You would never manipulate facts to just make yourself look good, to misrepresent things, to gain an advantage over a person. See, if you truly love people, you wouldn't do things like that. But the fact is, most people love themselves so much that they will lie, they will twist the truth, they'll misrepresent the truth or whatever to make themselves look good. Well, I learned this when I was ministering to married couples, and they would come in and somebody would tell me, here's the problem in the marriage, and they would present it from their side, and they may have talked about, you know, something that was a problem in the marriage, but they only presented it from their side. And then you hear the other side of the story and you realize that that's not exactly the way it was. People misrepresent this. We look at things only from our standpoint. If you truly receive this love that God has for you and then turned around and loved other people the way that God has loved you, you wouldn't bear false witness. You wouldn't lie. You wouldn't steal. You wouldn't kill. You know, going back, I mentioned this on our program yesterday, but going back to this command about thou shalt not commit adultery, I was talking about how people have basically been motivated to not commit adultery for fear that God is going to reject them and punish them, fear of sexually transmitted disease, fear of AIDS, fear of losing your reputation, and all of these consequences. And this is how the church will often deal with this. I know that in youth groups, they'll lots of times tell you about all of the consequences. And do you realize that, man, this is like playing Russian roulette and you're putting a gun to your head. You could get sexually transmitted diseases, and they do all of these things. Well, let me ask you this. If the doctors were to come up with some kind of a cure so that sexually transmitted diseases were no longer a factor, does that mean that now it's okay? Certainly not. But see, the motivation that most people are using to tell people, don't do this because of these consequences, you're missing the point. Look at it this way. If your wife was to go out and commit adultery on you, sure, there could be sexually transmitted diseases. There could be AIDS. There could be things that would affect you. She could get pregnant. And then you'd have to either abort a child, which is certainly not the right thing to do, or you'd have to raise a child that didn't belong to you. It would be a financial thing. You could talk about all of the consequences of this action. But let me say that what if she went out and committed adultery and there were no sexually transmitted diseases, there were no AIDS, she didn't get pregnant, nobody else found out about it. Does that mean that it's okay? Absolutely not. I guarantee you the husband would be hurt just because his wife wasn't devoted to him, that she didn't truly love him, that she didn't love him exclusively. And the man would be hurt over it, whether any of these consequences happened or not. From God's standpoint, if somehow the medical profession came up with things that eliminated all of these consequences, and if society no longer put a stigma on adultery and on, and if there was no consequences to it, does that make it right now because we don't have all of these negative things? No, it comes back to love. If you truly love God and if you are in love with Him and want to please Him, you would not go and commit adultery because it would be an offense against Him. Let me share this passage of Scripture with you out of 2 Samuel chapter 12. If you're familiar with the Scriptures, you know that in 2 Samuel chapter 11 is where David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then in chapter 12 is where God rebuked him for this and brought this out into the open. And he used Nathan the prophet to come and tell him these things. There's some powerful things in here, but I'm just going to skip down. And so the Lord said in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 7, "And Nathan said to David, 'Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things.'" Now, before I go on with this, let me just point out that in Mark chapter 10, Jesus said that from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And he intended for one man to have one wife for life. And this was in answer to the scribes and Pharisees who talked about, can you just divorce for any reason and you can have multiple, during that day people had multiple wives and you can divorce and get remarried and do all of this. And the Lord gave this answer in response to that and saying this was what God intended, just one man with one woman for life. This is what God intended from the beginning of the creation. So if you acknowledge that this was God's will, David had 13 wives, and he says, I gave you all of these wives. This never was God's best. Over there again in Mark chapter 10, he said the reason he did this was because of the hardness of people's hearts. People were just so bent on having multiple sexual partners that he allowed it. But it never was his will. And he actually gave David 13 wives, and he's saying unto him, if that had been too little, I would have given you more if you would have asked me. In other words, the Lord would have indulged him even more in something that never was his best plan. But he would have allowed David to do it if he would have asked him. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." You know, people read this and they miss some of these things, but I can hear the Lord's heart. What he's doing is telling David, he says, David, you were a nobody. When I sent Samuel to your house, and he told him that he was coming to anoint a king, Jesse, David's father, didn't think enough of David to even invite him to be a part of the rest of his sons, because he was the runt of the litter. It says he was ruddy and of a beautiful countenance. That means he was like a mama's boy. He wasn't a tough guy. He was the run of the litter, the smallest of the guys. His father didn't even put his name in the hat. He left him out there keeping the sheep. And Samuel went through all six of his brothers, and none of them were the ones that God had chosen. And he says, are these all of your children? And Jesse said, well, I have the youngest that's keeping the sheep. And he says, send for him. Nobody's going to sit down until he comes. Samuel honored David when his own father didn't honor him. God chose David and overlooked all of the others that were bigger and stronger. And God took a child that even his father didn't honor, and God honored him and made him the king over all of his people and blessed him and gave him success in his campaigns and gave him money and all of these things. And he mentioned all of these wives that he had given to him. And he says, I would have given you more if that wasn't enough. And then he says, how is it that you've done this and despised me? Did you know many people would read this story and think, well, David didn't despise God. He just lusted after Bathsheba, and then he wound up trying to cover it up. But no, the Lord kept peeling back the layers, and here's the root of the thing, that David just despised God. That's the way that he took it. It was a personal offense against him. Am I saying that the Lord didn't matter about what he did to Bathsheba or what he did to Uriah? No, that's not what I'm saying. But the bottom line was, the thing that hurt the Lord and bothered the Lord was that, David, you've despised me. And see, it all goes back to relationship. The new covenant is all built around a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not just rules, it's not laws, it's not regulations. It goes back to a personal relationship. And Jesus is saying that I've given you a new covenant, now I'm giving you a new commandment. It's all about love. Receive my love for you. And then the way that I have loved you, you love other people. And that's all of the restrictions that he placed on us. If you would just focus on this and make it all about relationship and receive that love, then you would wind up just accidentally fulfilling the law. You wouldn't treat other people bad if you truly had received this love from God. And this is what the Lord is trying to get at. It's not just your performance. It's not what you do. It's this fact that you need to have this love relationship with God. Here's another example about this. I remember when my kids were teenagers and they were starting to drive. And, you know, we had a curfew on them. I forget now really what it was. I think it was 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night. And I remember that the very first time I let my oldest son take the car and go out, I said, you're supposed to be home at like 11 o'clock or whatever it was. And he comes in about 11:10. And, you know, I sit down and talk to him and I say, Joshua, you know what? I told you to be home at 11. You came home at 11:10. And you start giving the reasons why it was important, and you say things like, you could have had a flat, you could have run out of gas, it's, you know, late at nights when all the crazies are out, things happen, you could have been hurt, this could have happened, and all of those things are true. But did you know what the real problem was? It wasn't the potential damage that could have happened to him by being 10 minutes late. And see, the kid sits here and listens to this. And the kid thinks, yeah, in 10, you know, if I'd have come in at 11, everything would have been fine. But if I come in at 11:10, then it's just like the whole world just goes bad in those last 10 minutes. And they just write this off as, you know, our parents don't know what they're talking about. It's unrealistic. What's the big deal? It's 10 minutes. But, you know, I didn't always articulate this. But what the problem is, just like with David, the Lord was saying, David, it's not the fact that you killed Uriah, not the fact that you committed adultery. It's the fact that you despised me. You didn't come to me. If you needed something else, why didn't you ask me? It was all personal relationship. Likewise, see, when your kid's out late, you may not articulate it, but what the problem really is that you honored that child. There isn't a part in the Constitution that says you have to give your children the car and let them use your car and that they can come in whenever they want to. There's no right. This was an honor. You honored them. You trusted them. You gave respect to them. And you reach out and you do this for your child. And what do? They come in and they just despise you. They don't recognize what you've done. They don't understand that this isn't something that they deserve. It's not a right that's owed to them. It was something that you gave cheerfully, that you gave voluntarily, and the child just despises it. And whether there's any consequences or not, whether they run out of gas, whether they have a flat tire, whether anything happens, that's not the issue. The issue is that you trusted them and they took your trust and they broke it. See, if you could understand that, and if you were to put it down to relationship, that, you know what, I love you, I respect you, I honor you, I do this for you. And if you put it down to relationship, it would cause you to live holier and to do the right thing more than the fear of punishment, the fear of something going wrong. You know, my dad died when I was 12 years old. My mother raised me. My brother was 4.5 years older than me. My sister was 9 years older. So basically, it was like during all of my teenage years, I was pretty much nearly the only child at home. And it was after my dad had died. And my mother and I were very, very close. And when my mother told me to be home at a certain time, it was based on relationship. It wasn't based on law. I wasn't afraid that my mother would whoop me, that she would take something away from me. It wasn't that. We just had a relationship. And when my mother asked me to do something, I think my curfew is like 11 o'clock. I don't remember now, but I never violated it. If it was 11 o'clock, I'd be back at 10:30. I think one time in my whole growing up years did I ever violate when she told me to be home, and that was because we actually locked the keys in the car and had to come and get somebody to unlock it and do some things. And I called her. This is before we had cell phones. It wasn't just convenient. I had to go someplace, find a pay phone, called her, let her know what was going on. But I just wouldn't violate that because it was about relationship. I think that this is what the Lord is trying to get across, that He's got a new commandment. It doesn't mean that the standards have changed, that you ought to go out and now rape and murder and plunder and do these kind of things. But He's just given us a new commandment. It's all about personal relationship. No longer are we supposed to follow rules and regulations and be motivated by fear of punishment and rejection if we don't live up to it. But He's just wanting us to receive His love and then turn around and love other people in the same way that He's loved us. Man, that is simple. And it's profound because there is a totally different motivation. When you are serving a person because of your relationship and your love and the honor and the respect that's between you, that's totally different than when you are just doing something because you're afraid you're going to get caught. You know, again, using our children as an example, you do correct them. You do spank them when they're young. You do take away privileges. You do things. You show them that there's consequences to their actions. And that's true. But you know what you're really trying to get at? You're trying to get to their heart, to where they don't do things just because you are going to be there to punish them or to give them some retribution or some consequence for their actions. See, if that's all it's about, well, then what happens when the kid grows up and goes to college and you're no longer looking over their shoulder? Well, you can look at the majority of kids, and this is the reason that they go wild. Because it wasn't about a love relationship between God and them or between their parents, but rather it was all rules and regulations. Now when you're out in a place where nobody's going to hold you accountable to those same rules, most people just throw the rules aside. You know, with me personally, I went to Vietnam, and I was over there with a man who was raised in the same church that I was raised in. I knew him from the time I was a little kid. We were both in the same situation. And yet I acted totally different than him because it wasn't about rules. I had a love relationship with God, and I guarantee you, I would not participate in the sin and the other things that this guy did. We both came from the exact same place, but he did it because it was rules and regulations. When you were in Vietnam, you're on the other side of the world. Who's going to hear about what you did? You possibly are going to be killed the next week. How's anybody going to know? But you know what? I knew that God was with me. God knew. And it was that love relationship between me and God that kept me from going out and participating in the things that other people did. Man, I pray that you're seeing what I'm saying here. It's totally different. The love of God will compel you to live holier than law has ever compelled you. And it'll be without any of the side effects, without any of this guilt and condemnation. I tell you, these are powerful things. I've got more to share about this on our program tomorrow, so I encourage you to listen in then and also listen to our announcer as he gives you some information about how you can get this brand new series that I've got entitled, As I Have Loved You.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, As I Have Loved You, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free from our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled A New Commandment. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but for those who could not or would not give anything, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Financial Stewardship for a Gift of Any Amount. Contact us today to get your copy. A Spanish version is also available.
I'd like to encourage you to please get this product that we've got. This is a brand new teaching that I did at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. And I have a DVD album, As Seen on TV. It's these actual television programs edited into DVDs. And then I also have this on CD. And the CD teaching was made live from a Gospel Truth seminar that we held in Houston, Texas. And I believe that this could really, really help you. We make these available on a donation basis. We ask you to give something. We have a suggested donation, but we want you to have this. And if you can't get, if you won't give anything for the albums, you can get the teachings one at a time as our gift to you. Listen to our announcer and he'll explain that.
You can use your credit card to order resources through our website. While there, you can discover more product details and download free additional resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 2nd through the 6th. In the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, July 26th through the 28th. In Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 16th through the 18th. And in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting, September 9th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Meet world changers Dannon and Amanda Winter, Charis Bible College graduates, class of 2002. Today, they're founders and directors of Charis Bible College, Florida, with locations in Jacksonville and Orlando.
The school does is it changes people. It transforms them from the inside out. And once those people get changed, then not only do they have a better quality of life, but they can go out and affect other people.
We invite you to check out Charis Bible College, Florida. Go to www.floridacbc.org for complete information. Change your life. Change the world. Have you ever wanted to check out back issues of Gospel Truth magazine from Andrew Womack Ministries? They're available online at awmi.net. Just log on to our website, look to the left, and click on Extras. Then look to the left again and click on Online Magazines. Once you're there, you're free to browse through our selection of Gospel Truth magazines from years past. Check out some great articles and be sure and check out the current issue while you're at it. Gospel Truth Magazine, now available online at awmi.net.